So many times that we wander totally out of God's will and totally into our will, because that's where we're always at. We're in our will, what we would have us to be, what we would have us to do. The heart, who can know it? It is continually coming up with new ways to do evil. I'm talking to you, Christians. We're coming up constantly with new ways that we can do evil. And yet, God in his grace and his mercy calls us back to him. For many of us, it's over and over and over again. There was a Christian that started life well. At an early age, this Christian gave the life to the Lord. At an early age, this Christian believed that God is who he says he is, studied the Word, grew up in the Word of God, and then started thinking, maybe there's something better out there, because God, I've never seen God. I've never heard a physical voice of God. But I do know that God is, because I knew the voice when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But is that all that there is? And so this Christian begins to explore life. And in exploring life, the Christian turns off the volume that God would speak to this Christian. And all of a sudden, this Christian found that the world was very interesting, and the world was very varied in its belief of what is real and what it means to go to heaven and what salvation to other people meant. For many years, this Christian kept the Lord in the basement of the life of this Christian. He wasn't at the top. He wasn't the most important thing to this person. He was important if you would ask the person, yes, God is important. And yet, in reality, the God that he served down here, somewhere less. God has a way of bringing us back to reality. The Christian would go through life and see all these different things and ponder and wonder. Maybe it's not just one way to heaven. Maybe there's multiple ways to heaven. Who's to say that these other people, so many others, are wrong? So many people would talk, and they would talk well, speak well to this person and say, you know, how could it be that the God that created everything would say there's only one way to me and his name is Jesus, my son? How could a God do that and condemn everyone else that didn't see it God's way? But the Lord has a way of speaking to our hearts. There's a passage in Scripture that says, I will take you into the desert and I will woo you to myself. Do you hear that, Christian? If you're wandering in that desert right now, it's because God is wooing you to himself. You're not there because you just simply walked away from God. It's God has come to you and has placed you in a place that is dry and arid. There's nothing around and nothing holds any interest for you. And he says, I will come and I will woo you. Woo your heart back to me. Jesus will always go after the lost sheep. All you fat cats out there that's fat and happy in the Lord, praise God. For you thin ones, spiritually speaking, Jesus is coming after you in a good way. We see the pictures that are painted of the good shepherd. You ever notice he's always got a black sheep on his shoulders that he's found and he's bringing back to the fold, the flock? I'm sure that's artistic license. And yet it's so true that we feel not full of light like we should. Jesus has a way to bring wayward Christians back home. Listen to what he tells his disciples whenever he's telling them, this is what you have to do if you're going to follow me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Well, Lord, I thought whenever I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that it was all good stuff from that point on. What's this suffering and embracing suffering? I don't like to suffer. I've yet to meet people that really like to suffer. A lot of people like to talk about suffering, about, oh, woe is me. But I don't think they really like being there. He went to work on his disciples because his disciples were wayward sheep too. They had hearts that would want to get away. And Jesus says, look guys, if anyone intends to come with me, then he has to let me lead. Not you. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm running the show. Have you had a problem, Christian, letting Jesus Christ run your show? Why do we have problems allowing Christ to have everything that we are? Say, Lord, I will go where you send me. I will speak where you tell me to speak. I will do everything that you tell me to do. Just lead me and I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Maybe we don't trust God. Maybe it's that we think that God has so many people out there that he's not going to pay much attention just to little old me, just a little old you. But he does. First of all, know that Jesus is trustworthy with all your life. John 11:26 says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Whoever lives and believes in me. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you live forever. He will never die. Do you believe this? Now, Jesus actually had to say, do you believe it? I make the statement, Jesus says, this is truth. This is the way it is. But do you believe it? And if you believe it, then why don't you trust me? If you can trust me to give you life and to take you through life, why don't you trust me with everything in life? Your hurt, your pain. You're going to work. You're coming home. Your kids. Your relationships. All these things that we struggle with trying to get through life. Give them to me. Let me lead you. Because I'm trustworthy. I'll take care of you. Christians don't believe that so often. We acknowledge, we're here in church, and every one of us is like, yes, I believe that, Brother Randy. And we acknowledge that, but yet our lives do not reflect that so often. Why? Because of fear. Bad things are coming. Bad things are going to happen. Bad things have happened. Where was God in the middle of the bad things? Why did he let the bad things happen to me? Well, the bad things happen because we live in a bad world. We live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world full of sin, full of sinners, full of unbelievers, full of people, even as Christians, that we bite and devour one another. The Bible says so. And we prove it over and over again. There ought not be brothers and sisters. Psalm 55:22 says, our Lord, we belong to you. We tell you what worries us, and you won't let us fall. We belong to you, Lord. We are yours. You ever think about you being God's possession? Now, let me just put a... You're his prized possession. You're his most precious possession. We belong to you. We tell you what worries us. And we believe, Lord, that you will not let us fall. Before Jesus was getting ready to leave this world, go to the cross, die, and be resurrected to life after 3 days, he had a meal that we call the Last Supper with his disciples. And he was preparing them for the time that he was leaving. He was preparing them for the time that he wouldn't be with them anymore physically on the earth. And one of the greatest things that he promised, and if you believe that Jesus is always truthful, that he cannot lie and will not lie, then he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in him. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit who empowers anyone that he is with. He gives the very power, the very knowledge, the very essence of God to every Christian. Well, listen to what Jesus says, John 16, verse 13. But when the friend comes, you notice he doesn't say, now when this awesome being comes. No, he calls the Holy Spirit friend. He's your friend. When the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of lies, not the spirit of someday I'll tell you the real whole story, the Spirit of truth. I'll tell you exactly what you need to know, exactly when you need to know it. And I will not lie to you. He will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth that there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen. And indeed, out of all that I have done and said. You know, the disciples still hadn't figured out that Jesus was going to the cross. They didn't know. Jesus had told them over and over and over again, the Son of Man will be betrayed, and the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, they will condemn him to death. He had told them that story many times prior. And yet they were like, that can't be. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the chosen one of God. How can you die? That's not what we believe from what we've heard. That's not the spin that we've got. The spin that we've got is you're going to lead us into victory over our enemies, and that Israel will be great among all the nations of the earth. How can it be that you're to die? And Jesus is saying to them now, he's preparing them, I'm going to send you the friend, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of God. And when he comes, he'll lead you into all truth. He's going to lead you just like I've led you. Listen to John 16:33. It's part of the same speech that Jesus is giving. It says, I told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I have overcome or conquered this world. Listen to what Jesus is telling them at the end of this. He says, I've told you all of this so that you trust me, right? Yes, Lord, we trust you. You've never let us down so that you'll be unshakable and assured. Do you feel unshakable and assured that Jesus has got you? If the answer is no, you have to say, why is that? If the answer is, I'm not sure, then you have to ask yourself from what Jesus has just said to you in this scripture, why is that? Why am I not unshakable? Why am I not assured? The Holy Spirit is going to revive you. This is part of bringing us back to who Christ is in our life, is God revealing himself to us intimately. Show of hands. How many of you in this room today have heard the Holy Spirit speak to your heart? Raise your hand. Practically everyone in this room. Now, those of you that have not heard the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, if you're a Christian, I would say, yes, you have, because when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, what did you hear? Did you not hear something tugging at your heart? I not understood it. Did you not hear, come, follow me. I'll take care of you. I'll save you. I'll give you eternal life. Life that is full, life that is free. Did you not hear that? Now, for the rest of you that have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, listen to this. You're not here today by any kind of accident. You're not here today because someone just simply asked you and you just decided to come. You're here because God has made an appointment for you today. It's a fact. You're here because God has made an appointment for you today. Listen to the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, because that's why you're here. Somebody may have invited you, or maybe you just decided, for whatever the reason is, I'm going to go to church today. God is saying, come, follow me. Put your faith and trust in my son, Jesus. Let's get back to praising God. Part of this curious life of a wayward Christian is that we go through, as God woos us back to him and reveals himself to us in ways that we haven't seen before. He shows us that Jesus is trustworthy, that we can trust God, we can trust Jesus, that he sends us the Holy Spirit when we said yes to his son, that we believe that you are the Son of God. Save me, Lord. Reveal yourself to me. I'm sorry for my sin. Please, Lord, save me. And then after he does this, and the Holy Spirit resides with us forever, by the way, he's never going to leave throughout all eternity. You know, it's not like just while you're here on earth, God sends the Holy Spirit to take care of you. You have the Holy Spirit after all time. God never leaves. I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And I'll just say this, and beyond. Praise God. Why do we have problems praising God? Because we don't think enough about God or what he's done for us every day. There's a story about a missionary. This was back in the early 1900s. And this missionary had been a missionary to Africa for 35 years. And he had retired, and he and his wife is coming back home, and they're on a ship from Africa, and they're coming back home. They're coming into New York City, and all of a sudden, they hear from the window of their room bands playing, and there's people outside that are shouting and waving flags, and this missionary thinks, is that for me? And so he goes out on the veranda of the ship, and he looks around, and it seems that this throng of people around the dock is just yelling and shouting, and he can't make out what it is. And then he sees a man descending the gangplank of the ship and come to the dock, and everybody is just swarming on him. And he recognizes that it's the President of the United States, that it's Theodore Roosevelt, is coming back from a hunting trip in Africa. The man dejectedly turns back into his room, and he goes and he locks himself or shuts the door and doesn't come out for several hours. His wife becomes a little concerned, and his wife, you know, goes to the door and, you know, honey, are you okay? And the man says, you know, for a moment there, I thought that these people were cheering me for all the work that I have done for Jesus Christ. And I see that it's not for me, that it's just for the President of the United States. Well, he's actually ex-president at that point. And I'm brokenhearted. This woman was wise in the next things that she said. She paused a little bit and thought about what her husband had told her. And she said, dear, you're not home yet. Do you hear that? You're not home. We're searching for a better place, and there will be ticker tape parades just for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 and 15 says, we don't have a permanent city here on earth, but we are looking for the city that we will have in the future. Through Jesus, we should always bring God a sacrifice of praise. That is words that acknowledge him. Praise. God, you are great. That's praise. You just start adding to it. You know, as a person that I feel like a cheerleader, that's my calling up here for God. In the Bible, it says, sing a new song to the Lord. And I interpret that personally for, Randy, I don't want you to keep singing the same old songs. I don't want you to keep singing the same old praises. I want you to come up with something that's different. I want you to come up with something that's new, something that's uniquely you. And that drives me crazy because I read the praises in Psalm. I read the praises throughout the Bible. I'm like, man, those are so good. Somebody ought to copyright that. That's how good they are. Those praises are wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. I mean, how good of a praise is that beginning? And then he ends it, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my strength, and he is my portion. The Lord is my strong tower, in whom I take refuge. Praise after praise after praise that people thousands of years ago have already come up with, and Randy's still trying to figure out a new one. Because God tells me in his word for me, that's how I'm interpreting this for me. Randy, you need to come up with a new song. You need to sing a new song to me. Listen to what Paul says about it in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Do you love well? Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. And this part I like the best. Live a lover's life. Love throughout your life. Live a lover's life. Circumspect and exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of. Bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all. Getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. When you go to work, do you get everybody involved in the glory and praise of God? When you are here, do you get everybody involved in the glory and praise of God? When you are at home, do you get everybody involved with the glory and praise of God? Do you live a life that people say, that person there is a Christian, and that's what Christianity would truly mean to me, because that's a good person. That person loves when people are unlovable. Are you that type of a person? If you're not, you have to ask yourself, why am I not? You see, I'm asking you to ask yourself a lot of questions today, because I know I ask myself those questions all the time. God wants us to be honest with who we are and where we are. And then he also wants us to become a true disciple of Jesus. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. Follow me. Let him deny himself. It's not about me, Jesus. It's all about you. We sing a song about that. It's all about you. But how hard is that? And how often do we fail at that? It's something that you have to, that's the cross you bear. Is giving it all to Jesus, your life. Listen to what Jesus calls you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. He calls you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Again, you ever wonder what your work is supposed to be on the earth? It's this right here. Let your light shine. We're light bearers of Jesus Christ. We've been given that light by God. The light never goes out. We maybe need to take the basket off of us and let it shine a lot more. And that's something that you have to decide. That's something that you have to do. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. What kind of good works do you do? Well, I can tell you, for various people, it's various things, obviously. It's helping people. It's loving people. That's good works. Those are works that will never go out of fashion. Those are works that will never be burned. Those are works that will be gold and jewels forever. Helping and loving. Finally, as this wayward Christian realizes what's truly important, you need to focus on the most important things in life. Matthew 22:37-39 says, Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And John 13:34-35, "I give you a new commandment," Jesus says, "that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this all shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love toward one another." Love, love, love. How hard that is, because our hearts are hardened and people hurt us. People abuse our hospitality, our good nature. They abuse us helping them. They take advantage of us. And yet Jesus says, love. Love through it all. That doesn't mean to be a doormat. Just want to throw that out there. That's not what that means. Love God, love one another with all your heart. That's a lifelong pursuit. How can we do it? Well, Jesus actually addresses that to a great extent in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. This is our problem, Christian, today. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. If you decide for God, you hear that? If you decide for God, Jesus is acknowledging not everyone was going to decide for God. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, which most have never been seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over all these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all of your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Good advice from our Savior, Jesus. advice that's hard to take, hard to live. And the reason it's hard to live is because if you struggle in that, you're still holding something back in your own life that I can do this. I can take care of these things. And Jesus says, give it all to me. Let me lead. You cannot be my disciples unless you let me be in the driver's seat. Let me lead you. You cannot be that. The last question that I'll ask you today is, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from total commitment to Jesus Christ, to the work on the earth? Because this is a short time we have. You know, if you're younger, you think, man, I've got all the time in the world. You don't value time. If you're older, you have all of a sudden begin to value time, thinking, I don't have a lot of it left. But whoever you are and wherever you're at, God says, I am the God of eternity, and I will take care of you if you will only trust me. But I want you to give all of yourself to me, not just part of yourself. So, Christian, if you've been one of these wayward Christians I've been talking about today, God is asking you a question right now. Will you come home? Or do you just want to stay out in that wilderness? Because you know, that wilderness, it doesn't give you any joy. And all the things that you think are good are so short-lived that you're just seeking the next good, short-lived thing. God gives you lasting peace, lasting joy, lasting salvation. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to grow, to change. Father, you change us. You grow us. Father, help us to think rightly and correctly in our lives and be always vigilant about how we live and what we say and what we do. The choices and decisions that we make that affect not just ourselves at that time, but things in time that we can't predict. Give us wisdom, Lord. We ask for your intervention in our life right now, today. Because that's all we have is right now and today. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.